Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Melanie Pennycuff, and I represent the appellant, Garland Mortgage Corporation, in this appeal of the Bankruptcy Court's equitable subordination of Garland's entire secured claim to that of all unsecured creditors. Judge Squires found that Garland's claim should be allowed.
Speak a little more slowly. I can't follow you.
Sure. Sorry, Your Honor. Judge Squires found that Garland's claim should be allowed but equitably subordinated to that of all unsecured creditors for two reasons. The first being that Garland committed misconduct that harmed the unsecured creditors by failing to comply with Rule 3001(e)(2), and two, that the debtors, through Garland, committed inequitable conduct that will cause injury to the unsecured creditors of the estates, who otherwise would have had an interest in and possibly received a small dividend from the remaining sale proceeds of the Western properties. Garland challenges the findings of the lower court as set forth in our briefs, but as I only have a brief amount of time today, I would like to address here today the findings that Garland's conduct harmed the unsecured creditors. In order for a claim to be equitably subordinated, three elements must be present: misconduct, harm to the other creditors caused by that misconduct, and equitable subordination must not be inconsistent with other provisions of the Bankruptcy Code.
You left out a part of number two, the second element.
Oh, or in unjust enrichment, I suppose.
Conferred unfair advantage on the creditor.
Yes.
Why aren't we in that realm? This certainly looks pretty bad.
Well, because the Western properties at all pertinent times were fully encumbered by three mortgages. Before the bank, Community Bank, assigned its claim to Garland, the properties were fully encumbered, and there was no no equity there that would ever be received or recovered by the unsecured creditors. After the assignment of the claim to Garland, the unsecured creditors were in the exact same position that they were in prior to the assignment of the claim. Therefore, there's been no harm. And as far as unfair advantage, Garland knew that the bank wanted to sell their claim for an amount, but so did the unsecured creditors through the trustee. The bank had contacted the trustee, I believe, in late 2002, a year before the bank assigned its claim to Garland, to attempt to come to some sort of a deal, a resolution, some way. I'm not real clear, and the record's not really clear what the give and take was supposed to be there, but the record is clear that for whatever reason, the bank never followed up with the trustee never followed up with the bank, there was never an agreement reached, and it wasn't until a year later that the bank, who testified...
Well, where did Chrysler and Ehrenberg get the money to buy back the property, in effect?
Well, actually, Garland borrowed the money from K&E Investments, which is owned and controlled by Mr. Chrysler and Mrs. Ehrenberg.
Well, wait a second. He's broke, right?
This is actually a year and a half, 2 years after the bankruptcy petition was filed, and I believe a year after Mr. Chrysler's case was converted from a Chapter 11 to a Chapter 7, and about 10 months after Ms. Ehrenberg's case was converted from an 11 to a 7. So at that point, once the conversion, any post-petition funds or any post-petition earnings were Mr.
But his interest in the company he borrowed from. Why wasn't that in the bankrupt estate?
His interest in a company. You mean his interest in K&E Investments?
Yes. Isn't that where he borrowed the money?
No, K&E Investments.
Where did he get the money? The $25,000.
From his own personal post-conversion earnings and Ms. Ehrenberg's post-conversion earnings.
I thought they took it out of K&E.
Well, they put it into K&E, and then Garland borrowed it from K&E. There's a lot of companies here and a lot of...
It's an elaborate scheme.
Is there a finding that this is post-conversion income?
I don't believe that was ever an issue that came up, no.
When was K&E incorporated?
I believe it was either pre-petition but had no funds in it, no interest in it, or it may have been created post-petition, and I would have to look that up. I'm sorry. I don't recall.
Did it do anything other than this, the shenanigans here?
I don't believe it has done anything other than this to this point. But, again, I would have to do some further research to ensure that's correct.
It says that he owns 60% of this K&E.
That's K&E LLC, which is different than K&E Investments.
That's not the company he borrowed this money from?
No, Your Honor. a 60% interest in K&E LLC and Ms. Ehrenberg's 40% interest in K&E LLC. K&E LLC being the company that dealt...
What's the company that he borrowed the money from?
Garland borrowed the money from K&E Investments.
And he obviously has an interest in it.
He and Ms. Ehrenberg both do, yes.
Now, what happened to their interests in the bankruptcy proceeding?
With regard to K&E Investments or K&E LLC?
K&E Investments.
Well, again, with K&E Investments, I would have to look to see whether or not that was a company pre-petition and would have been included in the bankruptcy, or if it was incorporated after the bankruptcy filing. But in any event, I believe that if it was existed pre-petition, there were no funds there, there was no money there. It was, and that's why I think it might have been incorporated post-petition. But in any event, Your Honors, the doctrine of equitable subordination is remedial and not penal. And again, these properties were fully encumbered by mortgages prior to the assignment. They were fully encumbered by mortgages after the assignment. And at the time that Garland received...
But you're saying there's no way the unsecured creditors would have benefited if they hadn't acted. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's your whole argument.
Yes. Yes.
But there's no way that the debtors would have benefited had they not done this.
I believe, Your Honor, that since we're talking about post-conversion to a Chapter 7 and it being their own funds and separate in part from the estate, I believe that Mr. Chrysler or Ms. Ehrenberg could have purchased this claim from the bank themselves, and my argument would still be the same. There's still no harm to the unsecured creditors. At the time the claim was purchased and assigned to Garland...
Yeah, but they're an insider here to this whole... Yeah, it just seems like they maybe this is more complicated than I'm seeing it, but it looks like they got $40,000 here that they would never have been able to get but for these shenanigans.
What you have to keep in mind, Your Honors, is that at the time the claim was assigned to Garland, the first mortgage holder had gotten relief from the stay a year prior and was pursuing foreclosure actions. The property had been on the market for many, many months and had not sold to that point. And at the time the claim was assigned, no one knew if the property was going to sell or for how much or if the first mortgage holder wasn't going to get to the point where there was a judicial sale of the property and Garland's claim would be extinguished altogether. So there was some amount of risk here, and it was not a sure thing that they, you know, knew that they were going to get whatever it turned out being. At one point, the trustee even moved to abandon the property as not having any equity, and that was later withdrawn after a particularly aggressive creditor objected particularly aggressively. But if there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Panica. Mr. Nelson?
May it please the Court, the standard which informs this Court's review of the Bankruptcy Court's equitable subordination of Garland Mortgage Corporation's claim is one of clear error, regardless of how this Court would have reviewed the
factual findings. I don't understand. What is the harm to the unsecured creditors here?
Well, in this case, Your Honor, the Bankruptcy Court found that the harm was the trustee had an opportunity to reduce...
But the trustee didn't want it, right? And anyway, this was so over-encumbered, there's no way the unsecured creditors could ever have benefited.
That's not correct, Your Honor. In fact,
how
at the time... I'm sorry, Your Honor?
How could they have benefited?
Well, in fact, when the property was sold, if the claim that Garland now asserts had been reduced down to $15,000, which was the deal that the trustee had discussed with Community Bank of Ravenswood, there would, in fact, be equity left over for the unsecured creditors. Now, the record demonstrated, and the Bankruptcy Court concluded that this was correct, is that the trustee had discussions with Community Bank of Ravenswood, and Community Bank was going to get back to her when they had found a buyer for the other property, the Montana Ashland LLC property, which is the property in which they had their primary security. They were concerned about getting a bankruptcy court support or approval of that sale, and in exchange for the trustee going along with that plan, they were willing to reduce their lower priority claim against the Western Avenue properties. Now, if they had reduced it down to $15,000, which was the deal that had been discussed with the trustee...
Did the bankruptcy judge make a finding that the unsecured creditors were hurt?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where is that?
Let's see.
What did he say?
Well, first I would direct you to the colloquy that the bankruptcy court had with the trustee on page 99 of the transcript.
No, the opinion is opinion.
Yes, Your Honor. Specifically, I would refer you to I apologize, I don't have this tab, Your Honor. I would refer you first to page 13, the first paragraph that begins on that page. The trustee testified she first learned in January 2004 of Community Bank mortgage notes that had been assigned to Garland. She also stated that had she known the Community Bank was willing to sell the claim,
bottom, all right.
Yeah, and then she would have attempted to more favorably resolve the claims, which may have resulted in the removal of a secured creditor from the pool of creditors, thereby enhancing dividends to the estate's unsecured creditors. And then if you refer back to the end of the opinion, Your Honor.
Well, what is the significance? Had she known that Community Bank was willing to sell its claims, she would have attempted to move favorably. But she didn't know, so what?
Well, I believe what he's referring to there, Your Honor, is that had she known that that Mr. Chrysler and Ms. Ehrenberg, through this shell corporation, were attempting to acquire the claim, then she might have taken a more active role with respect to Community Bank in trying to acquire that claim.
But is it their duty to inform her that the property is more valuable than she thinks it is?
As insiders to the debtors' estates, Your Honor, I think that's
appropriate. Where does that come from? Are you saying that there's a duty, legal duty by debtors to...
Your Honor, there's a legal duty of insiders to deal fairly with the estate, and using
Does
information.
Fairly mean that you have to tell the trustee what all the properties are worth. I don't know.
Well, Your Honor, a debtor, if he has knowledge, needs to disclose that kind of information when he files for bankruptcy, and using that information to gain a superior position to your unsecured creditors, unbeknownst to the trustee, unbeknownst to the bankruptcy court through a shell company.
Suppose Chrysler and Ehrenberg had done absolutely nothing, zero. Well, Community Bank would have foreclosed, and how would that have helped the unsecured creditors?
Well, again, Your Honor, the bankruptcy court gave weight to the trustee's testimony with respect to the deal that she had discussed with Community Bank. Now, if that deal had gone forward, if Community Bank had found a buyer...
Go for it. I don't understand. As you say, suppose Chrysler and Ehrenberg, they do absolutely nothing. They've abandoned they're out of the business. And there's just Community Bank with its mortgage. And she knew that. She knew Community Bank had a mortgage, and she decided... Not that there was nothing in this property for the unsecured creditors. So that's saying that if Chrysler and Ehrenberg had not committed the, dishonest act or whatever you want to call it, inequitable, the creditors would be no better off.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I disagree.
How would they be better off?
Well, again, as discussed, the deal that had been proposed would be that the claim against the Western Avenue properties would be reduced down to $15,000 when the other property, the property that was owned by Montana Esland LLC, was sold. I'm sorry.
What deal are you talking about?
There was a deal discussed between Community Bank of Ravenswood and the trustee, and this is in her testimony, under which they wanted to get bankruptcy court support and approval for the sale of property owned by another one of Mr. Chrysler's entities, which was Montana Ashland LLC. Now, that was the primary security for Community Bank of Ravenswood's loans. The deal that they had discussed, that Community Bank of Ravenswood discussed with the trustee, was that if she would agree to support them when they found a buyer for that property, then they would agree in exchange to reduce the secured claim against the Western Avenue properties. This is the claim that Garland now wants to assert. they would reduce that claim down to $15,000.
Keep Garland and keep that out of it. So they discussed this deal. Now, why didn't the deal go through?
Well, as the trustee testified, her understanding was that they would get back to her, Community Bank of Ravens would get back to her once they found a buyer for this other property, for the Western Avenue property. In the meantime, what happened was that the debtors were aware of the fact that the Community Bank wanted to sell its claim. They saw an opportunity to obtain a secured position, and they ginned up this corporation.
So did the bankruptcy judge find that had Chrysler and Ehrenberg not jumped in, Community Bank would have gotten back to the trustee, and they would have made a deal? Is that the finding?
Your Honor, I believe the bankruptcy court's finding was, in
Where
fact, that there was
a... that?
Well, if you refer to page 7 of the opinion, at the bottom, the bankruptcy court accepts the trustee's testimony that there was... that there was a better offer on the table for the estate.
Where and is that? It was, I didn't see that.
Look to the bottom of page 13, Your Honor. I'm sorry. he says here that he acknowledges her testimony that she would have negotiated a better claim that would have resulted in money being available to the estates.
Yeah, we've been through that.
Yes, Your Honor, but further.
Where does he say that Community Bank would have gotten back to her and they would have worked out a deal, but... Chrysler and Ehrenberg jumped in and stole this opportunity. That's what you're really saying. They appropriated an opportunity that belonged to the trustee by intervening in her negotiations with Community Bank.
That's right, Your Honor.
Fine. So where does the bankruptcy court say that?
The closest that he comes, Your Honor, is page 26, I believe. With respect to the second element, the creditor must actually utilize its power, that paragraph, referring to Barry and Marsha as the debtor's inequitable conduct through Garland, if allowed, will cause injury to the unsecured creditors of Barry Marsh's estate who would otherwise have had an interest in and possibly receive a small dividend.
Yeah, but there's no connection. There's no connection in that sentence to anything about Community Bank's getting back to the trustee. Does the bankruptcy judge ever talk about this getting back to the trustee?
No, Your Honor. I don't think that element, that particular finding is necessary in order for the bankruptcy court.
I think it's critical. Unless Community Bank would have worked out a deal with the trustee that would have left some money for unsecured creditors, there's no harm to the unsecured creditors from the defendant's conduct.
Your Honor, I see my time's expired.
Yes,
may
look,
answer your
if
question?
The judge asks a question, you think he expects that because the red light is on, the lawyer won't answer it? What would be the point of asking a question? We keep having lawyers tell us, the red light is on. Do you really want me to answer your question?
Your Honor, I'm happy to answer your question.
Answer a question after the red light is on. I don't want an answer because the red light is on. So what is your answer?
The answer is, Your Honor, that the answer is that the bankruptcy court accepted the idea that the trustee had an opportunity to settle those claims, and that we don't know.
There's two different things.
At the time, we didn't.
Where did the bankruptcy judge find that Chrysler and Ehrenberg took this opportunity away from the trustee? Now, you say in your argument, which is fine, Community Bank would have gotten back to trustee and the timing was such that the defendants, they stole this they intervened, they interrupted this negotiation. Where is that in the bankruptcy judge's opinion?
Again, Your Honor, other than pointing to the...
That they, you know, defendants were acting sneakily, and therefore they shouldn't be allowed to benefit from their act. But if their act didn't hurt anybody, why should we care that it was sneaky?
Well, in fact, I think it did hurt the unsecured creditors.
But the bankruptcy judge didn't find any hurt.
Well, Your Honor, this in part goes to the point that Judge Sykes made, which is that the second prong of equitable subordination of the test is not simply harm, but an unfair advantage. The bankruptcy court concluded that allowing Mr. Chrysler and Ms. Ehrenberg to retain these funds through these sort of underhanded means.
But if there's no harm caused by what they did, it just gives a windfall to the unsecured creditors.
Again, Your Honor, given the fact that they're insiders and they have a duty to act fairly with respect to the estate.
No, they have a duty not to harm the estate. They don't have a duty to go pointing out all sorts of opportunities. I mean, did they have a duty to say to Community Bank, or you should say to the trustee, go back, don't take no from Community Bank, go back, pester them, the property is really worth a lot more. Is that a duty bankrupts?
Your Honor, on that issue, there simply isn't enough to support the position that Garland takes in the record. I mean, the testimony that was presented was that there had been discussions about this deal and there was an opportunity, and that there was going to be some delay necessarily because, in the meantime, the bank needed to find a buyer for the property. And while that was happening, while I was waiting for some resolution on that, the debtor saw an opportunity.
Well, it'd be nice if the bankruptcy judge had said that.
It would certainly make things clearer, yes, Your Honor. But again, I believe the issue is that there is an unfair advantage over the estate here. And
okay. Well,
thank you.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Pennycuff, how much time do you have? 2 minutes?
Your Honors, the record would show that the trustee testified that Community Bank came to her and they had some discussions, but she never followed up and they never followed up with her. They ended up selling the Montana Ashland property without needing anything from the trustee or the bankruptcy court. The bank's vice president testified all through his testimony that the bank just wanted these unperforming loans off their books. They wanted rid of them. They just wanted to be done with this. Reducing their claim to $15,000 doesn't get these loans off their books. The trustee knew for about a year that the bank was looking to somehow get out from under these unperforming loans. They'd contacted her. She never got back with them. They never got back with her. She knew of the opportunity. And I don't think that the bank or Garland or Mr. Chrysler or Ms. Ehrenberg had any duty to approach the trustee and say, look, are you really sure? The bank would have made more sense for them to go back to the trustee with Garland's offer, if they thought they had any offer from her, and try to get her to increase her offer or somehow better the deal. But that didn't happen. There was no usurpation of an opportunity. The trustee just didn't take the opportunity, and the bank wanted to be done with this matter. The only willing available buyer they could find was Garland, and that's who they sold it to.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. Next.